So if you guys will, we're going to bring our seniors up on stage. We're going to bring our elders up on stage in both rooms. And we want to have a time of blessing over these individuals. So seniors, where are you at? It's okay. You've done a lot already this morning. I get it. All right, we got several filing in. Love this, love this. Y'all just gathering behind me. I'll get out of the way. This is not about me. Amen. I'm going to give the mic over to David. He's going to bless these guys. But like was said a while ago, I wouldn't even say the future is intact. The right now is intact. You've already seen these guys step up and lead. God's going to do some amazing things.
So it is. This is a bittersweet time for you guys. I've talked to several of you. It's also a bittersweet time for parents. As you know, this may be your first one out of the nest. This may be your last one out of the nest. And as a buddy of mine recently said, when they dropped their daughter off at school, and his wife looked at him and said, "I hope we like each other." Because that's it, you know, this is us. But it's a beautiful time of transition for you guys. And as a lot of you, we either have known you from birth or from a small child. And so with that, remember you can always come home. This is home. And no matter where you go, you're ambassadors for Christ. And hopefully the life and the truth that has been spoken into you will radiate as it does right now. We're going to pray for you. Father, we're grateful for these beautiful young men and young women that stand before all of us today. We pray that your face shines upon them in some beautiful ways. And in so doing, so that your radiance glows from each of them. Wherever they go, to school, to work, whatever path that is in front of them, may they step each day following you as you take them to where you already are. So bless them as they go through graduations this week, as they wind up their summer and go to whatever is next. Be with parents and grandparents that have spoken into them, that love them, as this is a bittersweet time, exciting time, but also a time of, oh boy, what's next? So as one chapter closes and another one opens for them in this time of life, this kind of a rite of passage that we celebrate here, we pray again a blessing on them, and may they ever stay close to you and know where home is and be anchored strong in the truth of who you are, who they are in you, in the gospel that made all that possible through Jesus. Amen. Good work, guys. Good work. Yeah, young lady, I do want to say a prayer for Spencer as he shares with us today. Spencer's been with us this week 2 years. And so we are very, of course, you know, the first time was forever, 8 years, I guess. And then, but when he left, he came back with a beautiful family. So there's a lot that goes into youth ministry. So Ashley, we thank you. Oftentimes, as many of our wives are, and husbands, those ladies who are in ministry, you're ministry widows, and that just happens. And so she has been super supportive of everything, and we are so proud to have Spencer, and the best is yet to come. You do your best work after 2 years, and he's done a great job with our teenagers. And, great work, great work. Father, we do ask that you be with Spencer. We're so thankful for him and Ashley and Grayson and the new one that will be here soon. And we are thankful that they have chosen to leave where they were in Texas to come here and to serve with us. And we thank you for the blessing that he and his family have been on our congregation and our families and our youth. Be with him today as he shares through Jesus. Amen.
So before I jump into that, I believe we have a senior video that we want to roll to honor these guys. them a round of applause. This time, I'd like to invite my scripture reader to come on up. Xander, where are you at? Xander is a grad at OCS. He is a tennis player. And I believe you're heading off to LSU, correct? Awesome. What are you going to study?
Medical physics.
All right. There you go. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Revelations 1, verse 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Thank you so much, Xander. So I want to start this morning by telling a story that some of you may know and some of you may not. But 15 years ago, I came to Louisiana for, I think, the first time to be a counselor at Camp Chioka. And it was night one of staff training, and we are learning camp games, you know, because that's what you do in staff training. You learn the stuff. Well, we are playing Nitty Gritty. I know that's a game that most of you know, most of you understand. For anyone that doesn't, it involves this hula hoop being in the center of the gym, and you have to go and get random items. And so they may be like a pin, a penny, you know, whatever. Well, this was a ping pong ball. And I've never been built for speed. But I took off, grabbed a ping pong ball, and I was ahead of the pack. But thinking about it, the item has to stay in the hula hoop. I was like, how am I going to get this ping pong ball to stay in? You can't just drop it. It's going to bounce out. And so the old gym at camp had carpet as their floor. And I just baseball slide in, and I have that ping pong ball, and I slide past the hula hoop, and I get it in, and I get a point for my team. And I look down, and I kid you not, from my knee to my ankle is missing on the left side of my leg. It is just red. It's not even bleeding. It's just gone. The wild thing about this is we have this thing called Survivor Day. And just a few short weeks later, we're competing in Survivor Day, and I thought I was done. I was told I was done. I was told I would just have to stand there and read something. But my co-counselor comes up for my team, and she's like, I've already read the clue, so I have to read it. Okay, fine. Get to my station. I'm ready. I'm waiting for my team. My team arrives. I can't walk. My character is lame. So I get on the back of this 15-year-old. He carries me across the soccer field to the point where I can get off of him. This next character is a healer. Amen. Praise God. Healing takes place. And I go and I take a step off of the tennis court, forgetting that there's an incline. And I roll my right ankle. My left leg goes forward. And my open, giant carpet burn goes scraping across the gravel. I get up, you keep going. And so I'm trotting along. And next thing I know, a buddy of mine comes up and he's just messing around. He doesn't see that I'm hurt. He doesn't know that I'm about to fall over on this ankle. And he kind of gives me just a friendly shoulder tap as he runs by. I kid you not, I go off balance into a trailer hitch where I get a gash just below this knee. I'm going, I'm making my way. And I come up to a kid. And he's on my team. I'm like, why aren't you running? Like, the team is way ahead of us. He's like, I don't like to run. Me either, but here we are. His eyes get huge, and he just takes off. I'm like, I'm quite the motivator. Look at me. I take off running. At this point, the kid who carried me is running back down going, we've already lost. Just stop. I'm like, no, I must finish. I learned in that moment, I am highly competitive. I learned in that moment that I will not stop. Running is not my friend, though. I kid you not. 7 years later, I was at a different camp and obtained the same injury, except on turf this time, running a race. When I used to teach at OCS, I would use my free period to go walk or run out on the track, trying to stay healthy, trying to do what's right. And when you do that, you got to keep your eye on the prize. I don't know if y'all know this, but like, it's good to keep your eyes ahead. Well, next thing I know, I'm lost in a song and I turn to look at something else and I step off of the track and just roll onto the football field. The most recent time I've struggled with keeping my focus when it comes to running or walking was back in 2020. I dropped a lot of weight and I was on a blood pressure medicine that I hadn't gone off of yet. And I was out on a walk. Ashley was working like a 12-hour day. She wasn't home. And I would just leave. And I would go on these like 13-mile walks. And I set off. It was a 13-mile day. I was like, man, this is going to be a good day. And I'm going. And like 4 miles, I was like, I feel a little slower. I checked my pace. I am a little slower. Whatever. I'm probably just a little tired. Let's back this thing off. Let's make it a 10-mile day. Let's not worry about the whole half marathon. Let's just make it 10 miles. So we're going. By mile 8, I'm just praying to get home. And every step I'm taking, I'm praying, all right, just one more, just one more. I'm watching my pace on my watch go from my standard 14 to 20 minutes per mile. I mean, I am struggling. And there it was. There was some grass. I was like, if I could just make it to the grass. And I made it midway through the gravel driveway. I don't know who these people were. And I collapse. I regain my consciousness. Like, I got to get home. Get myself up. I collapse again. Full on pass out, black. So I find myself finally sitting with my head between my knees, texting a 14-year-old who lived in that neighborhood to come get me on his golf cart. I'm going to make it home. And I did. I tell you all these stories because I want to set up something. Jesus, past, present, and future. We're going to take a slight break from Hebrews, but I want us to still stay nestled in to who really matters. When it comes to all of these stories, when it comes to all of these events, I mean, yeah, they're funny and yeah, they're goofy, but there's a thing within each of them that I should have understood, one, my past and where I come from. I need to understand what's actually happening in the moment, and I need to be okay with the future that comes when it comes for the one who gives. Amen? In any of those stories, if I just realized I am not the athlete, if I had just done enough to just get by versus giving this crazy amount to this crazy thing that just wasn't what God created me for, I might not be walking around with some of those physical scars. I may not have some of the same gashes. If I had leaned into who He created me to be and who I know I am in Him, amen, then I can take some steps. Let's look again at our verse for today. We're in Revelation chapter 1. It really is a beautiful message. And I want to start midway through verse 5 where it says to him. It says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. How beautiful is that? Look at some of these words, though. Verse 5. It says, to him who has freed us. I want to first look at our past. I want you to think about securing your past. Do you understand that you've been freed? Do you understand that where you come from is a place of now freedom? Here's the most beautiful thing. The seniors standing up here, because their parents getting them here, or their grandparents getting them here, or their aunts, their uncles, or their neighbors, somebody wanted them to know freedom. I hope that you're here because somebody wanted you to know freedom. How beautiful is it? The other thing is, it's not just he has made us free by his blood, but he has made us a kingdom. Made here is also in that past tense. It's already been done. When you proclaim him as Lord, you are part of that kingdom. It's already in existence. You just have to grab hold of it. That's the beautiful thing about pasts, is they can be solidified. They can be secure. Now, some of you have been here since the doors opened however many years ago. And you feel like your past is very secure. And I love that. But some of you, this may be your first time in the doors, and you're sitting there thinking, Spencer, how can my past be secure when it was so lost in something else? When it was so lost in flesh, when it was so lost in substance, when it was so lost in whatever I could get my eye on or catch. Then here's what I have to say to you. As long as God gives you breath, you can now secure your past. You can now secure where you've been. Your today does not have to look like your yesterday. And so if tomorrow comes, you have a new yesterday. That's the beautiful, beautiful thing about our God, is he is setting in something beautiful and something amazing. Look with me at Matthew chapter 7. I love this. He's getting ready to end his, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And he comes in with some pretty wild punches. I'm going to call them punches. I think Jesus will take some punches sometimes to let his point really come across. But if you look at verses 24 through 27, he comes in here with his final, left-right hook. Matthew 7, 24, he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built, again, this past tense, who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built, past tense, built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What I want you to understand is we all come from a past that prepares us for a present. And a storm is coming. I don't care who you are in this room. A storm is coming. To my seniors, you've just got done with one of the greatest years of your life. Senior year is fun. Senior year is freeing. Whether it's because your class load gets lighter, because you get a little bit more freedom from your parents, you get to start taking your own steps, because everybody sees this end in sight, and so there's a little bit of this euphoria occurring. Senior year can be really, really good. But I need you to understand that through the whole year, you were preparing for a storm that is coming. And whether you're a senior or senior citizen, you know what I'm talking about. You know the storm. It could be that next round of temptation. It could be that call into your boss's office saying, we no longer have a position for you. It could be that call from the doctor that says, you need to come back in. We need to talk. I don't know what the storm's going to be, but I promise you there will be one. And how your past is secured, how you're building this house and this vessel, it matters. So don't take today for granted. Don't let this moment go by because your past is defining you. Let's look back at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 7. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Do you understand that Christ will return? Do you understand that there is a day coming when we will be saved? We will be rescued. We think we know salvation now, but there's a glorious day to come where salvation will be awakened within us like we've never known it before. That's exciting. And I hope we're ready for that, but I hope you're ready to surrender to that. If we're going to take the time to secure our past, then we're okay with where God takes us in the future. We're okay surrendering to him who we are and where we're going. I tell the kids all the time, God does not care what profession you grow to be. Unless there's a few out there, he probably, hey, that's a sin. Let's not. But he doesn't care about you becoming a doctor. He doesn't care about you becoming a teacher or a lawyer. He honestly doesn't care if you become a waste management worker, if you become an assistant to somebody, or you're the person who has the assistant. What he cares about is your heart. What he cares about is what you've already secured in the past to bring you to a future that he has led you to in a most beautiful way. What he cares about is you surrendering to say, Lord, if you leave me in the CEO position, may you be blessed and glorified. But if you pull me out, may you be blessed and glorified. That's what he cares about. When you see in this verse, there is a coming back and there is a crying out. We're not going to care. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. We're not. A day is coming when we're not going to be classified by the things we classify ourselves by. The prestige we thought we knew will be gone, and there will be a beauty to what's to come. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting at verse 50. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kirk, I hope you're saying Jesus over there. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I know I'm going out of order here. It didn't really sound flowy to say past, future, and present. This is how we know it. This is how we say it. But I'm telling you guys, if you can have an understanding of your past and to say, I want to secure it. I want it to be a past that is secure. I want it to be a house built on a rock. And when you can say my future is surrendered, when I can say that it is His and my work is not in vain, my work is not my own. My work produces fruit and it will mean something. Not because of me and who I am, but because the one who's already established the forgiveness and the kingdom is coming back. Then imagine how your present can be. Imagine how today can be. So to my seniors, this church, however long we've had you, has tried. We've tried to help you secure your past. We can't protect you from everything. Most of us in here will tell you there are things we've done. There's things we wish we hadn't done. And there may be tears in the process of sharing it. But we want to lead you. We want to guide you. To my juniors and down, my prayer over the children's ministry is that we will be a church that continues to step up and to help them secure so they're confident in surrendering. How will they ever be confident in surrendering if they don't know that their God secures them? Amen? So to my last point, Revelation 1:8. This was the meat and potatoes when I was trying to decide where I really wanted to be into camp. But then when I really started looking on each side of this passage, there was so much that came in before it that makes this the exclamation point that it is. And so John in his writing here closes out that section in saying, this is about Jesus, just to be very clear. This is not about John. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. His existence isn't something that is in this moment or in this time, but He is who was, He is who is, and He is who is coming. What I love about this is we try to take God and we try to put Him on what we understand. We understand time. Every single one of us, because of our experiences, understand that we have a yesterday, we have now, and we're decently confident because of how things have constantly gone, there's a good chance for a tomorrow. We know it's God's, but that's what we know and what we've experienced. But God is outside of that. He is able to be in the past, present, and future all at the same time because He is encompassing them. He created them. He gave them existence. It's like the painter is in the painting because He put Himself in there. The sculptor is in the sculpture because she put herself in there. Even if it's not a direct sculpture of herself. He is in because He created, because He is. Psalm 150, if you will bear with me, I do want two verses for this one because I really loved the psalm when I came across it. This is how I want you guys to think of today, your every today. We've secured the past, we've surrendered the future, and I want you to celebrate today. And I know celebrate starts with a C. It's not my fault the English language is the way it is. But it's alliterative enough. We're going to celebrate today. Amen? All right, awesome. Look at this Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sounds. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What if that was our every day? You get out of bed and you're like, yes, Jesus. And you're going and you're brushing your teeth and you're just doing a little ditty while you brush your teeth because he is God. He's delivered you. He secured you. And you know what's coming. It's him. And so you're going and you're singing your heart song and you're letting this flow out and you're letting this pour out. And maybe, just maybe, I've forgotten and I'm having a bad day. But I cross your path. And your joy reminds me of the joy of the Lord. You let your light shine so brightly that it reminds me that the darkness doesn't win. So we celebrate today. We celebrate together. The storm is coming. And we may have the victory, but it doesn't change that it hurts sometimes. But we can still celebrate today. The other passage I wanted us to look at is Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Start with verse 15. Colossians 1, starting with verse 15. Who is Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's what we celebrate. There's so much to Jesus and who he is. He's not just a sacrifice on a cross. He's a king. He's a creator. He's a Lord. One of the things that I tell the kids all the time, and this last summer at camp, they heard me say it too many times, I'm sure, for them and what they think, but he is a living God. Do you understand what that means? That you have a living God. Not someone who is just distant. Not just someone who had already paid a price. Not someone who had already spun things into motion and just let it be. But he is a living God. Meaning, in this day of celebration, we are celebrating someone who is alive, not dead. We are celebrating someone by our side, not gone. We are celebrating someone who cares for us and wants for us. Not just somebody who the world may try to tell us needs to be praised. He doesn't need to be praised by us. He's told us in scriptures the rocks will do it if we won't. But we get to. You get to come in here and you get to worship Him. You get to go in there and you get to worship Him. You get to get in your car and you get to worship Him. And you get to get at home and you get to worship Him. And you get to circle up with your family and you get to worship Him. And you lie down and you worship Him. Celebrating today. Celebrating who He is. Celebrating not just what He's done, but what He's doing. And what we've already surrendered for Him to come and do. So what? Why? Why all of this? Well, one is Senior Sunday. I have been here 2 years. Every year you're here, you get more and more attached. You get more and more experiences and more encounters. I'm not even going to look. I'm going to look back here. Jacob, we got one more year left. I'll look at you. That's sad too, though. I want you to remember where you come from. I want you to consider where you're going. Because you have dreams for yourself and God wants that for you. But I need you to make sure that they're aligned with Him and who He is. I need you to never forget that Jesus is the Almighty. I need you to never forget that this is a place that you can be your dirtiest and most broken and we will surround you. But to all of you, I need you to hear the same thing. I need you to hear that light will defeat the darkness that you're carrying right now. I need you to hear that Jesus came has solidified what He solidified because He wants you to be free. He wants you to let go. He wants you to confidently be His. So whether it's a today thing or it's a tomorrow thing, be ready. Celebrate. Secure. Surrender. You can do those basic things. You can do a lot. Because it's no longer about you, it's about Him. So let's not worry about tomorrow. And let's take today to make a better past. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for this opportunity. The opportunity that it is to speak Your word and to preach Your word. And Lord, I don't know what's on the hearts of every individual, Lord, but I do know that You are working within them. So whether it's somebody is ready to proclaim You as Lord and to give themselves over, or Lord, it's a storm. There's a storm in someone's life and they just want to be surrounded. Lord, I pray that today they don't hesitate, that they come forward and they allow themselves to be seen and to be loved and to know Your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.